Blog Talk Radio.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
For business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Love's a beautiful thing.
Come down to the river, bet you're gonna find some people who live. You don't have to worry, hey, you got no money. People on the river are happy.
wings to fly. Oh, I'm alive.
Messages of Light. I'm your host every Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I would like to send a special shout out to Reverend B, who has been my producer and boss for over 5 years. I love coming on every Monday having a guest, no matter where they are, whether it's England or Ireland or Hawaii or Canada, you know, or the States or wherever we go. I just love having guests every week. I have a really cool guest with me today, and I'm really excited to have her. But right before I get to her, I just want to mention that our first guy that was playing music was Orville Byrd. And then you had a lovely commercial from Reverend B, who has an awesome book out on crystals and stones. Anybody who wants to learn about stones should get her book. She really knows her stones, really knows her stuff. We just had a psychic fair yesterday, and we were dressed up in Halloween costumes. I was an angel, and my friend was Winona Judd, which was totally awesome. We heard from her earlier, too. We heard one of her original songs called Love's a Beautiful Thing. You can find that on Facebook. We post up videos constantly. You can find it on YouTube. If you go over to YouTube and type in Love's a Beautiful Thing, you'll find one of them as a video. You can also find them on iTunes, and if you want to get a hold of me for one of Bethany's CDs, you can look me up, Amanda Dowell, 1L on Facebook, and I'm happy to help you with that. And I'm also happy to give you a reading over there, too, to set up an appointment anyway. So also I want to mention that my friend from Hawaii, who Bethany and I are going to go see one day, which is going to be so cool. We're going to tour Hawaii, and it's going to be so great when we do, because I'm really going to enjoy seeing, you know, everything about Hawaii, seeing the spiritual sites, and seeing what my friend Claire Bajo can tell us about everything in Hawaii and what goes on there. She is a spiritual realtor. She uses energy, and she works with the sacred sites, and she's a healer. And I am just so excited to know her. So she does spiritual real estate. She also does some healing. She's a spiritual intuitive. She also has worked with, you know, showing the sacred sites and the islands and the pyramids and working with different energies. And I'm just so excited to have her with me because she has been my buddy for a long time, one of my personal colleagues, and someone I just really always love to talk to and have her share things with everybody, her stories, her exciting adventures, and all of that. So you can find Claire over at Facebook, and she can probably tell you other ways to get a hold of her too. Claire Bajo, Hawaii. And you can friend her over there and talk to her. You can call into the show at 347-237-5339. And you can also listen to us in the chat room. And we're going to go live now with Claire and talk a little bit more. Hi, Claire. How are you?
Aloha, Amanda. How are you?
Aloha. I am wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. It's beautiful here today in Hawaii, so it just really helps when you have a beautiful day. It really uplifts your disposition.
That is
can't
so
help
cool.
But be happy.
Well, we need to be uplifted, and we need to be in the aloha spirit. What I love about Hawaii is how friendly everybody is, how upbeat everybody is, how you honor everybody, and just how everybody is so friendly and you don't really have to worry about any energies. I know that comes up for some of us always all the time, no matter where we are, but it's just such a positive place to be.
Yes, well, when people come here and they are loving already, they have the most amazing experience. And then for people who experience different situations when they come here, it magnifies. So really what you feel before you get here is what you will see on your journey. So they talk about to Hawaii, you'll find that the islands either embrace you or they spit you out, and you'll know immediately. And it depends on how you treat others before you get here, what your, you know, what your spiritual integrative practice is like before you get here. So many, many, many people come here and they feel the energy of the place, and they get, you know, they see like green lights all the way, free parking, discounts. They get, you know, people feel like family wherever they go. And so those people are the ones that end up coming back time and time again and really having, like, you know, adding to the beauty of this place. And what happens for them is when they go to look at real estate, the way I do my business practice is I have them tell me what calls them. Because in the spiritual practice, you have to be called to certain places. You have to be called to Hawaii to, you know, have it lay out perfectly for you. And so for the people that have it, you know, they cry when they leave. Some people may have drawn pictures of dolphins or whales, never having seen one as a child. And when they come here, they feel like this place is home. Some people don't really feel that until they jump in the ocean, and then they, you know, start crying and feel like they're home. So we have a lot of mermaid stories and a lot of stories people who may have lived in or near the ocean. So it's really kind of cool to, you know, just be open to the type of people that I meet, because the, you know, it takes different walks. But people from all over the world come here and have their own individual feeling. And so it's really, really neat to experience that and be a part of that and help them find their place here.
That must be really amazing to connect with all the different people and all the different energies just to see, you know, how they are. And, you know, what you say really makes sense because, you know, I like that phrase. How you feel when you're in Hawaii depends on how you treat the people before you get there. And, you know, that motto is so good because we should always be, you know, mindful and always treat people with great integrity and good intentions and all of that. I know that that's not the case in some cases sometimes, but I totally agree. We should always be that way.
Yes, yes. So it gets magnified here. And so I mostly meet the people who, you know, come here and really, like, feel called. My slogan is Hawaii calling you home? If it is, follow your heart and trust your intuition and let your conscience be your guide, and it will bring you to the place that you need to be. And for those who do live that way, you know, live with their heart, trust that the universe provides for them and will show them the signs, and you know, follow that inner light and inner voice, miracles happen. And I see it in a real estate transaction as well, where, you know, price drops, price reductions, the seller gives more than expected, you know, just things happen that are way more perfect than I could have lined them up myself, you know. Of course, it's a harmony of synchronicities that happen when someone is following their heart. You know, the universe conspires in your favor. So that's what I look for. When people are in love, when people are loving and in love, I mostly see it when couples are in love and just following, you know, trusting that the way is going to be made. Boy, the miracles that I see happen are just so, you know, off the charts that I can only thank God, you know, I can only thank the Creator that, you know, that has brought them here and brought this situation about, because numbers line up for me. I'll see 333, 444, 1010, 1717, you know, the numbers just pop out like synchronicities, and it's all over the place. It could be time, it could be microwave numbers, it could be, you know, gas pump. It could be, you know, total, you know, at the convenience store. I mean, really, the signs show up so consistently that I, you know, I can only know that I'm fulfilling the purpose that I'm called to do myself as part of this journey. So that part's really exciting when I can, you know, tune in to that and tune them in too. I mean, you know, they're already tuned in, but when I tell them what's been happening on my side, you know, that part is really exciting. So everyone gets to enjoy the benefits of people who follow their heart, trust their intuition. One of the things that really I noticed when I'm going to show property to people who are, you know, following their heart, trusting their intuition, really being guided and, you know, tapping into that, the day, beautiful. I mean, the day will be beautiful all day long, and the weather patterns and stuff. So that's like a really big sign. Happy people, you know, loving people make beautiful weather. And it's true, especially here in Hawaii. I watch for that. So when I see a beautiful day, I'm like, yay. You know?
Yes, that's important. That's really good.
Yes, yes, yes. So lately, I got a call from a New York film content company, production company, who does reality shows. And what they were doing was they were interviewing artists, you know, actors and actresses and artists, music artists, to see what their true passion is, which I felt was a really great idea for a show. And so I was asked to prepare a blessing for a music artist that was into marine conservation, and she was tapping into her spirituality and really wanted to learn more about it. And she was recently in the news as having other things happening, you know, with litigation and stuff. And so I really just wanted to bless her and really just, you know, give her a kind of like an ocean baptismal, because I thought, you know, the connection with the ocean is so much a part of who we are. Our body is 70% salt water. So when we go into the ocean, we can feel the oneness that, you know, this clean, healthy ocean brings us. And at the area where I had chosen for her, there's monatomic gold that seeps out of the shoreline there, which is a mixture of salt water and fresh water. The fresh water seeps out of the shoreline, so when you walk into the water, the sand is cold, like ice cold. So your feet are like chilled while you're walking into this warm ocean. And then when you cleanse yourself, and then when you come out, you don't feel salty. You feel like refreshed, because the fresh water just, you know, doesn't make you feel like you're totally salty. So, and when you drink this water, it grounds you, it heals you, it upgrades your DNA, it opens your pineal gland, and it like upgrades your cells to your skin cells and membrane. So it's just highly healing for people. So I wanted to, you know, take her there. And a funny thing happened on the way. Right when I had everyone, you know, ready for her to come down, it started to pour. I mean, monsoon kind of pour. And so they had called, they got stuck in it up in the mountain region, and I guess someone had gotten hurt, and they had to go to the hospital, then they had to go to the airport, and so they didn't even make it down for the blessing. And I had everyone there. I had food. Part of the tradition, the Hawaiian tradition, is to serve food at a blessing. So I brought what we call Kalua pig, which is the traditional way that pork is served. And I brought it with some cabbage, had it mixed with some cabbage, because Kalua pig and cabbage is one of our staples. And then I had brought some sweet potato. And then the artist, she was vegan, so I brought some tofu wraps and a nice beet salad, you know, regular salad with beets in it and stuff. And anyways, we ended up, you know, having a good time anyway. She didn't get to come down and do the blessing, but we went in and blessed my friend's house. She lives out there on the ley line, the 19.47 degree ley line. So we went up to her house. She's got a $3 million estate up there, and we just blessed her place instead. So we never know what the universe is going to give us, but we go with the flow, and, you know, things seem to take their course in the way that they need to be. So I was sad that I couldn't give her, you know, the artist this blessing, but, you know, sometimes other things happen. So it's definitely a go-with-the-flow kind of environment here in Hawaii. You know, Hawaii has its own time zone. So, you know, they had postponed the whole blessing a whole day. So I had to hire different, you know, healers to do the blessing and change the food and everything. So it was really kind of funny, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. So, but I still send prayers to her. I gave her a bunch of crystals. I gave her some chakra crystals that I had told the people, the producer there, to give to her and have her set her intention in the crystal so that when the blessing time comes, that she could give a crystal to the ocean as part of her, you know, blessing for her new beginning and her, you know, and her life as a conservationist, you know, a marine conservationist. So She did get some things out of it, but I didn't get to, you know, she didn't get to have the full blessing with the kahuna healer and all of us around her just holding her in place and stuff. So, but I still pray for her on her way, and I know there'll be other opportunities. So, but yeah, so, and on the way to doing that activity, I had to go and get the venue, the area that I was just speaking of that has the monatomic gold feature. That was, I had to go over private property to get there. So I went and gave an offering to the caretaker, because he let me walk, you know, through, let me walk through the property to get to this little watering hole. And come to find out, the area is very, very sacred to women. At that time, in the Hawaiian days, it was the only place where the ladies could bathe naked in their natural state, because Hawaiians didn't really wear a whole lot of clothes, or they didn't really wear a whole lot of, you know, they were topless most of the time. So, and when the Christians came, the missionaries, they prohibited that, but this place was one of the only places. And hearing more about the place, it was told to me that there are mermaid stories there. So I learned about the mermaids that were there, and then I understood the relationship between the women and the mermaids, you know, because they must have known each other and communicated there in the waters. But yeah, it was a very interesting story. So some mermaid stories were passed down to me. And there was another story about a princess who had come. She was half British, half Hawaiian, and she was heir to the throne. And her father had told her to travel around the world after high school, so she did on the ships, and she became a Christian on the way. And so when she came back, she wanted to denounce the Hawaiian deity Pele. Pele is the goddess of the volcano here on the Big Island, and she is the creator. She's like Mother Earth. She's not really someone that you want to do that to, you know, denounce that her power exists, because, you know, like you and I know, Mother Earth feeds us, Mother Earth loves us, Mother Earth creates everything, and, you know, and gives us, you know, water for food and food and for water and that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, she wanted to do this because this was what she was taught, right? The whole mentality
Absolutely.
Was kind of different. So she went to volcano. They traveled by ship. So she went to the volcano and did a whole ceremony to denounce Pele. And after the ceremony, nothing happened. So she was kind of feeling proud of herself, like she did it and got back on the ship and came back to this area, Kalanipu'u, which was where she was staying. And when she went to get back on land from being on the ship, there was an earthquake. So that was a sign.
Being vocal. That's a sign right there.
That's a sign that, yeah, that Pele didn't appreciate her coming into her house and doing that. And she understood at that moment what she had done. And I don't think she ever did that again. And I don't think that she ever denounced, you know, that she, I think that she did acknowledge that there is Pele and there is Jesus and there is God, and they're all one, and God made all of them. And here in Hawaii, we appreciate everything as a deity. Every rock is a deity. Every animal, every living thing, everything God made. So we appreciate that as pieces of God, and there's no discrimination, and that's why the Aloha Spirit is so vast, because it doesn't discriminate on any, you know, any color, race, or creed, any sex, religion, whatever. We acknowledge that every person, everything has a spirit, everything is allowed to be here, everything deserves respect, and everything deserves love. So that's what I've been learning more and more about my own culture as I try to teach others how, you know, the respect is first. You know, you have to respect people.
It is, and their own. Respect is first.
Yeah. Yeah, it's respect and, you know, kindness, tenderness.
It's
kind of
like what we talked about. And I remember talking about it with you before about how you don't remove something without replacing it with something else, because something could happen, you know, owning the respect
mm-hmm.
of, you know, the land and what have you. We had talked
mm-hmm.
about that before. I think somebody had a situation mm-hmm. where something had happened and then they had to return. I believe it was a rock, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some instances where if you don't ask the rock properly, the rock will
exactly.
return.
Yeah.
And so, like in some construction developments where there were sacred sites that they did not know about, they just thought they were regular rocks, you know, when people come in, they don't always
yeah.
question the significance of, you know, something or... And there were a bunch of times, numerous times, where they tried to remove big boulders from places and, you know, got the machines and everything, moved them, and the very next day, all those rocks were still in the place that they were before they were moved. So the rocks...
Wow, that is really something.
Yeah, they're very, very significant here. Rocks are, they're like living crystals, really. They're just... a little tarnished from being out in the weather. But the Menahuni, who were the little dwarfs of Hawaii and Polynesia, they're dark-colored dwarfs. And they may have been either Olmec or Toltec people. But when, you know, the Polynesians were called, like, Oceanic Africans. So at one time when the continents were one, they came here and then the floods came and these people got stuck on these islands. And, you know, here we are, Hawaiians, which are, you know, oceanic Africans. These Menahuni were little dwarfs of the day. They were mystics. And they moved rocks in one night. The king would ask for a fish pond. In one night, these Menahuni would build this fish pond. And it was all eco-friendly. It was all, like, all built with rocks and, you know, wood, you know, sticks and stuff. And they would make it so that the fish could go in but can't come out. And they would live until the time that they needed to be eaten. And you'll see all on each island, all the fish ponds. Kauai, I think, has one of the more bigger fish ponds next to the Wailua River. And so they stand to this day. That's how, you know, that's the how integrative their construction was. So, but I've also heard stories of the fish ponds not just holding fish, but also mermaids. The mermaids
yes.
would live in the
yeah.
in the fish ponds too. Not all the mermaids I heard were friendly. Some of them were.
Oh sure, I can believe that.
Some of them were malevolent. Yeah, some of them were malevolent. So it was very interesting, and I can understand, I can see how the rituals of the Hawaiians played a part when these mermaids were around, because there's one story near the hotel at the Mauna Lani here on the Big Island where a big mermaid lived in the fish pond. It was a huge fish pond, still there to this day. But the mermaid... lived in the pond, and the ritual was that every time that they had a luau, or it was the big, you know, party or the dinner every night, that they would tithe the best of the feast to her before they ate.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one night they forgot to feed her first, and she ate a couple people.
Oh my goodness!
So I thought that was, yeah. So I thought that was, I thought that was, you know, really very interesting, and I could see how, why you would tithe or you know,
sure,
give the offerings before you get there, and that's why one of the Hawaiian traditions is that when you, it may be a, you know, it may be a universal tradition where you never come to someone's house empty-handed. You never
absolutely
go visit someone.
Yeah.
You always bring something to eat to share because
yes,
you just never know the condition. Well,
you know that the Native Americans do that too, which is cool. It's kind of like, you know, you pass it down. Like somebody used to ask me, well, why do you, you know, and they think it's so interesting that I kind of prepare for trips. Like people say, wow, you have all your healing stuff and then you have all this other stuff, but then you just have rocks that you give away and you have little tiny bottles of oil you give away sometimes and whatever. You know, they question me. They question
uh-huh
me as to why I do it. And it's because in the Native American respects, you do that too. You give them sage, you give them
mm-hmm
sweetgrass, you give them
mm-hmm
stones, you give them oils. I would do that too, but you never come empty-handed
mm-hmm
anywhere, whether
mm-hmm
it's food, like you said, you know,
mm-hmm
in your tradition too.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the indigenous cultures have the same tradition. So,
and I would do that there too. If I was in Hawaii, I would walk around with all my stuff too, the same
yeah
way, and I would be giving people, you know, that also, or, you know, whatever I could. So it's the same kind of thing. It's just the respect for everybody else. That's what you do. And I think that's just an amazing, you know, aloha quality that you have. And everybody is just so, you know, free-spirited and happy. It's just a wonderful place to be. And that forgiveness prayer, the Ho'onopono prayer that they do, is just so fabulous. I love that as well.
Oh yeah, the Ho'oponopono is, to me, it's a business practice. I don't just use it. I don't just use it in times of, you know, of controversy. I also use it. I use it pre, you know, before anything happens. I use it at the beginning of an establishment of a relationship. So especially with my clients, because the area is so rural, still very wild. This island has a lot of wildness to it still. There's still places that are raw. We've got a lot of wild pigs and turkeys and, you know, things. We don't have any snakes or, you know, big cats or anything. So there's not a whole lot of things to be afraid of. But, you know, you will come across pigs, wild pigs every once in a while, and goats and you know, animals. But what was I saying about the area, that it's very wild and
yes.
What were you just talking about? I wanted to tell
you something.
We were talking
about
well,
the Ho'onopono prayer, and we were talking about
yeah
how you use that as a business practice, which I would too. You know, it's just
yes,
about forgiveness.
Yes.
We did a workshop in St. Louis with it, and we actually had a few people, when you do the I'm sorry, I forgive you, and I know it's a certain order, and we were all doing it back and forth together. Some people in our circle, when we did that, because it was just part of the exercise, and it's very powerful, I do know that, when we did, were crying. You know, they were crying,
mm-hmm,
there were tears. You know, it was, there were big releases in that room. It was very healing and quite an experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, the people who, when they come here and, you know, especially from the mainland, they were not taught. They, you know, saying sorry was the last thing they did. And so when I tell them that these business practices, you know, that I use are things that you use to keep peace with your neighbor, or to, you know, when you need something, you use these words, and before anything, you know, rises up to the surface, you continually say thank you and I'm sorry, you know, if I offended you. But when people say, for instance, they buy a house and there's a big tree and they're perfectly beautiful view, they need to figure out how to get that tree cut, and that's in the neighbor's yard. So mm-hmm. what I tell them is that when you come here and you build your place, and then you see that, you know, there's the tree in the neighbor's yard, if you want that tree cut, you go and make friends with that neighbor, and you go and take them, you know, wine and cheese or whatever they like, you know, cookies, or I always take chocolate macadamia nuts because people always love sweets. And, you know, just to introduce myself, and there was a property that I'm needed to sell, and I went and took the neighbor $100 worth of groceries and wine and cheese and, you know, party things, you know, of course salads and, you know, dips and stuff. But she was very grateful and said, absolutely, yes, you can cut my trees, you know. So it's,
oh, wow.
Whatever, you know, it's how you approach things. And when you come in humility and saying, you know, so thankful that you have these things to offer, to get, you know, to have them offer, is really a really great feeling, you know, because nothing was lost in that sense, you know, when you look back. And, you know, so anyways, but different people take it at different levels. I have to sometimes teach respect straight out, which, you know, if someone's wanting to, you know, make an offer and they want to lowball it, and then at the same sentence they say, I want to come here with utmost respect, then I say, well, you're not being respectful if you're going to lowball it. You know what I mean? If you're lowballing it, you're actually lowballing your potential future neighbor. So
yeah,
start off with that, you know, and then to ask for fencing and have it be mowed and, you know, 20 acres of land, and you want this and you want that, and you're going to lowball it, well, you're not going to get a very great reception when you get here. So they have to understand that. And it's not just words. It's a business. It's a practice, you know. So,
and it's like you said before, you know, I mean, I was born into the, like you said, it's how you treat everybody else before you get there will show where you head in that direction. Well, we should be, each and every one of us should be respecting everybody else anyway beforehand. You know, it's like, you mm-hmm. know, you treat somebody how you want to be treated. You know, that's always mm-hmm. how I've been mm-hmm. and how I've looked at things. And people are always like, oh, why are you so nice? And why are you this? And, you know, there are a few of those out there that, you know, are around us. But I love the Hawaiian philosophy. You know, it's how you're doing things, and that's what energy you create that, you know, will help you manifest more. But it's all in how you're treating people and what you're doing with that energy. And that energy is so important to have when you're anywhere. You know, when you're anywhere doing anything, and that's how I treat it too. And I walk around doing the prayer also very mm-hmm. often, because it's mm-hmm. just, like you said, it's kind of a business practice. We see very eye to eye on a lot of things. And I love mm-hmm. that you're doing sacred site tours and everything that you're doing in real estate. And it's just a beautiful place to be.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Recently, it seems I've been working with there are big developments that are wanting to build on, you know, ancient sites or even burial grounds. And so I've been working with the elders to see how best to handle the bones and the spirits who lived there before, because in Hawaii, we believe that anyone who's ever lived here still lives here. So that goes way back in time to the Lemurians and the Hawaiians and, you know, the Manahuni. And, you know, when you come across these sacred places, or when you find bones anywhere on the properties, you have to go through certain protocols. The burial council's called in and everything. So there was this one big development that had come across a big site of burial site, And so they went and cleared the land, which you're not supposed to do. They went and cleared the land, and then all the bones were exposed. And so they attempted to cover it up. But what happened was that night there was a huge, huge storm, and all the bones washed into the ocean. And, you know, so it was to anyone not Hawaiian, they would have said, oh, great, you know, that cleaned the land. Now we can develop it, right? Because there's no evidence of bones. There's no evidence. And I said, well, when you build the house and the house is haunted, what are you going to do? You know, did you really remove the bones? Because the spirit apparently is still there. So you have these multi-million dollar homes that are being built now in this area that is potentially haunted. And the people who lived there before still live there. And you didn't ask permission, you know what I mean? So really, it's we have a hotel that's being demolished because of that very reason. They built on sacred ground, didn't ask the proper permission from the spirits. You know, so the guests would come into their rooms and see their clothes flying around. They'd see big warriors at the end of the hallway just watching them, like, you know, like hawks. And, you know, these interesting things would happen where they would be scared. You know, even employees, trays, you know, food trays would be flown at the employees. And, you know, it was becoming a kind of scary, you know, place for even the employees to be. So they had to shut it down. It's being demolished now. But the sacred site that was there before was had to do with two lizard prophetesses that lived in the area, and they helped the community. So the Kamehameha schools are turning it into an educational center now. And I believe that, I believe that a lot of the sites that are, you know, that have been, have burials and stuff, I think they want it to be put into farming land, you know, used as agriculture so that the ancestors, the mana or the power of the ancestors can go into the food and, you know, rejuvenate us as, you know, as lineage, you know, so that we're getting, you know, in all indigenous cultures, I believe, where they were stationary. I don't know if the Native Americans, I don't know how they handled their bones, but I know in a lot of places, and there were keepers of bones. There were keepers of the sacred sites.
There were.
So, Okay. So,
absolutely.
There was a reason for that.
There is a reason for that. And we're definitely on the same page. I had a woman come to me at our fair the other day, and she was wondering why she was being haunted. And I said, well, did you guys move some stuff, you know, around in the front yard? And she said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, that's why. You know, they're not happy with you because, you know, you're moving things around of theirs. And, you know, what people forget, you know, they're like, well, doesn't your soul go wherever and they're at peace? Yeah, a lot of that is true. But sometimes what happens is there's energy that's left there that wants land or whatever respected. And I said, you know, you go and demolish something, and it's just like what we talked about Hawaii respect and the land and all that and how things reappear. They want to be respected. Everybody's like, oh, it's so scary if something's haunted, whatever. It's like, no, as long as you respect them, they're going to respect you. It's just the same thing as if you respect your neighbor, you know. You just don't want to go messing with their things because, I mean, okay, what if you couldn't do anything about the things that people were messing with and you wanted them a certain way and it was, you know, yours, but you were helpless? You know, you would want somebody who is physically there to, you know, take care of it and, you know, do that and respect it. And if you don't have that, they're going to be really crabby and they're going to be all over you. And that's just a reference to look at it. It's like, well, how would you feel if you were disrespected like that? I wouldn't want to feel that way. And I've had the other side rave and rant at me like, I don't want that this way, or don't do that, or don't mess that up. Even the natives have done that. Oh, don't mess this up. Don't mess with the Hawaiians too. Yes.
Yeah. So we've been, you know, to teach that is a different, you know, what do you call it? cultural practice that, you know, people who move here have to understand. A lot of the ritual of buying property here is that we call in a kahuna to bless the property. And what the process is that the kahuna does is they acknowledge the people who lived there before, asking their permission for these people to move in. Then they honor the people who moved in and kind of clean the place. You know, they do a salt water, Hawaiian salt and water with some tea leaves, and they go and bless the place, bless the four corners, and then they invite the new people to come in so that it's, you know, it's cleaned first, and that the spirits are, you know, aware that these people are moving in. On the military sites, they don't do this practice. So one of my friends, actually she was an office manager when I worked at the executive office of a gas petroleum company in Hawaii, Aloha Petroleum. Her husband was on a military base, and they lived on base. And they lived right at the top of this valley. And one night they were just sitting down in the living room, and they heard a big crash, and all the glass in her cabinets, all her glassware over her kitchen sink had fallen. All of the shelves just fell, and all the glassware just fell and cracked. Everything was just, you know, all in pieces. And so she wasn't sure why that happened. There wasn't an earthquake. She didn't know what was going on. So she cleaned it up, and then the very next night, same thing happened. So she asked around, and she was told that there's the night marchers and the King's Path that goes right through her house, right through where she was, you know, the military housing, and it was right through her house. So what she did the next night was she opened the doors to the front door and the back door, and she said, please come in. Please, you are welcome here. This is your land, and you were here before me. Please, please, welcome. And then it never happened again. So she honored them by doing that herself, you know. And that is really one of the things. When you come in humility like that and you honor who was there before and you say, please, you're welcome here as, you know, as I would want you to be, you know, then they honor you and they give you a peaceful residency. So that's, you know, part of the, you know, things that we have to learn along the way. There are night marchers. Night marchers here are called King Kamehameha's warriors. So they have paths that they, you know, keep, and so we have to honor them by either acknowledging that they're there to Knights of the Moon, or that, you know, we stay off the path and we do not build our homes on those paths. So it's also interesting.
Absolutely.
But
that's very interesting. I love it all. You know, you've just been a wonderful guest today, and I want to tell you thank you for being on, and we'll have to do it again.
Okay, sounds good, Amanda. Thank you. I love you, and thank you for all the work you've been doing, too. I see you've been going to all the shows and accompanying Bethany and everything, so good on you.
Aw, thank you. You're so sweet. Well, I'm definitely sending good energies to you too. And did you want to tell everybody else how to get a hold of you, or just Facebook?
Oh, yes,
or?
Yes. Yeah, they can Facebook me, Claire K. Baja, Hawaii. I also have a Lemuria page, Lemuria, the continent of Mu. They can call me. My number is 808-756-4874. And email is claire808@hawaii.rr.com. So thank you again, Amanda, for everything, and I love you dearly, and I hope to take you around soon.
Oh, me too. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it will be real soon, and we will talk again and have you on again. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, blessings and happy holidays.
Blessings. Bye-bye. Happy holidays.
Okay.
You've been listening to WGGM Radio. That was Claire Baggio. You can get a hold of me over at Facebook, Amanda Dowell with one L, if you're interested in checking out some of Bethany's CDs. We can get them to you. You can also email me at starwaya@hotmail.com, and you can also find me over there for readings. It's been a pleasure today. We'll see you next Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to end with one of Bethany's new cover songs that she did, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day, everybody.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my boots, baby. You can do anything to stay off my boots. You can knock me down, step on my face, talk to my name all over the place. Do anything that you want to do, honey, lay off the boots, now don't you step on my boots, baby. You can do anything to stay off my face. Let's go, cat. I'll walk the dog. You can burn my house, steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off the shoes, now don't you step on my blue shoes. You can do anything to lay off my blue shoes. I rock it. Woo, yeah. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, 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 now don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoes. Well, it's a blue, blue, blue suede shoes, honey, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, honey, blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoes. Here's a train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. Well, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear the whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Oh, play that guitar. Do it. I bet there's rich folks eating from the fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep them moving, and that's what tortures me. Oh, play. They freed me from this prison if the railroad train was mine. Bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let the lonesome whistle blow my blues away.